We'll get underway. Welcome to Saturday, January 12th meeting. Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting. We'll start off with item number 12, future meeting planning discussion. We'll open that up. Yes, Commissioner Thornburg.
A few things. One, to let my colleagues know that I will not be at the February meeting. I think you've been hearing that. But first meeting I will have missed as commissioner in 4 years, doing teleconferences. The second is I wanted to talk about a blue sheet that was submitted by our former colleague, rest his commissioned soul in peace, that Jay Keeney, that was from our current chair. He requested a briefing, and we voted on it, on a couple of initiatives. One was just where we were with the roadkill. And we actually had that briefing yesterday in the Wildlife Committee. So I'm recommending that we take that blue sheet off of our list. Third thing that I have, it relates to Year at a Glance, the March 1st, 2nd meeting in Spokane. I've been contacted, and he's already in touch with Tammy, by Rick Perleberg. For those of you who've been on the commission for a while, I think at our last Spokane meeting, Rick is teacher par excellence from Reardon. He's their ag teacher, Reardon High School. And his FFA group has a debate team that actually has won at the Nationals in a number of years. And they are doing natural resources debate topic again this year. It's actually Feeding the Orcas. He's requested, one of the things that they do as they prepare for Nationals is they get points by presenting to groups who have an interest in this, and he's requested a little time on the March agenda for his group to come and present to us. So I would like to get permission from the commission to move forward. We think we can jiggle that in.
If I may, will that be a panel presentation?
Yeah, remember the last time we were in Spokane, they actually presented. So it's six kids. And it's a debate. Some take con.
Sure.
Yeah.
What it is structured FFA.
Yeah.
Is what it is. They do that in debate is what it is.
Yeah. So.
It's always nice to see people at commission meetings that are under 60.
Yeah.
So
with permission, we'll move forward on getting that organized. So, yeah.
Great. No objection.
Good.
I guess I was going to wait till later. Kim got on the blue sheet issue, and I had proposed back in December of 2018 a blue sheet on a presentation on salmon smolt predation by birds. We've already crossed that bridge. There's no need to duplicate that, so I'd like to rescind that blue sheet.
Two off the list.
Yeah.
Done.
Hello.
Two categories of matters, I guess. The first one is...
I was going to do a blue sheet, but we'll go back to where we were.
Okay.
On the draft agenda that we've got in our briefing books, agenda item 15, Willapaw Bay Salmon Management, briefing and public comment. The department will brief the commission on progress of the comprehensive review of the Willapaw Basin Salmon Management Policy in order to seek interim guidance for 2019 of Willapaw Bay Basin Salmon Fisheries. So at the Fish Committee meeting the other day, we received a briefing of how far along the comprehensive review is and what more needs to be done, and there was quite a bit of things that needed yet to be analyzed if the commission was going to be presented with some choices to make on this matter. And in that discussion, I think it was kind of clear that the comprehensive analysis would not be done in time to be distributed a week in advance of this February meeting so that the public could see it and we could have a chance to look at it. And so I'm wondering how to characterize this particular agenda item, if the choice really is between staying the course that we're on now for status quo or staying the course on for the permanent one. And I see that we've got the Assistant Director for Fisheries in the audience here. I may not have characterized fully what kind of problem the staff is having with regard to the tightness of this deadline or what the options the commission might want to deal with on this one. And when that is done, I have something for earlier in the agenda that's in our draft.
Can I just make one observation before you start? Go on. I think I heard very clearly that the 14% impact is going to severely restrict both fisheries, commercial and recreation, and I certainly thought that was on the table as a discussion for interim guidance. Do we want to proceed at the pace of recovery that was set in the policy? I think that's a longer-term decision, but what we know for 2019 is that if we go with that pace for 2019, that we're not going to have much fishery action. So I thought that was pretty clearly on the table.
Yeah, I mean, I heard the same thing, but the reality of it is we're quite a ways away from having preseason forecasts as well, are we not, Ron? I mean, so we're sort of hanging out not knowing what our course of action could or should be.
Chair Smith, commissioners, thank you, Ron Warren, Fish Program. I'll try to answer many of the questions that were asked by you commissioners. Number one, Commissioner McIsaac, you're correct. We are not going to be sufficiently far enough along to be able to finalize the comprehensive review then move quickly into offering any options for the policy from that. And so in the Fish Committee meeting, what I had said is that what we'd like to do in February is come in, describe as fully as we can where we are in the comprehensive review because of differences in staffing between what we did in the Columbia River and Willapa. We would take a break for North Falcon, pick it back up in May or June, and then try to finalize. So one thing that we may want to consider that, as you, Commissioner Thorburn, brought up, is that the speed of which we recover and fish take react to the new strategy from the policy and the stock designations and the genetic management plans that we have in place. Those have been postponed in the hatchery and fishery reform policy. We may want to allow this to run a course to where all of that comes to fruition at the end of that independent science review and refreshed policy review and adoption, because many of those actions that have been postponed in that document are still alive in the Willapa document. So there, it may make some sense to have the commission think about, okay, so do we want to, and I'm trying to get to Commissioner Thorburn's issue, do we want to, again, such as last year, stay where we were with the 20% before we further restrict fisheries so that we can allow ourselves to double-check the independent science and the best available science available to the commission policy? So I'll stop there. Commissioner Carpenter, you're correct. Got about a month and a half, maybe a little earlier than that, maybe a month before we'll really start to see forecasts for the coming year for fall Chinook and coho throughout the coast and Puget Sound. A lot of the fall Chinook forecasts are done for the Columbia River but not in other areas of the state.
Follow-up question. Ron, what's your sense of where we are to the new ratified Pacific Salmon Treaty and how that could impact returns to most all of our waters, but including Willapa?
Thank you, Chair Smith, Commissioner Carpenter. I don't have it straight in my head. We've got a Pacific Salmon Commission meeting next week in Vancouver, B.C., in which I hope to come more up to speed, but I'm uncertain if any of the federal shutdown will prohibit the signing of the treaties. I know that the formal documents are done and to each party, all of the review has been signed off on so that the diplomacy issues can go forward. I don't know if the shutdown has any effect on that, so I don't know how to answer the question. If it's enacted, which I think it will be, and the fishery reductions or the scalings of the possible fishery reductions in those fisheries take place, it could certainly mean some additional fish back to the state of Washington, certainly.
Thank you.
Commissioner Grew?
I think I asked at a Fish Committee meeting when the first seasons would begin in Willapa, and it's in the September time frame.
So thank you, Chair Smith, Commissioner Graybill. The Willapa Bay opens up in concurrence with the ocean. So in July, depending on the seasons, we're able to set in the ocean. It opens up under ocean rules in July. And then in August, it separates itself and goes back to Willapa only rules. So it will be fishing under its own set of regulations in August. Those are when the fisheries start. We still have some issues for non-local stocks out on the mouth of the Willapa Bay itself, where we put a conservative bubble in place where we didn't allow people to fish where the Columbia River fish seem to mill, and we have a higher interception rate there. I'm not sure if that will be an additional conservation step this year or not, but that's when the fishery starts out there.
Was I hearing from you that you felt like staff would be more comfortable with having everything we need in place by June?
Chair Smith, Commissioner Graybill, it's difficult to really put it all into perspective. So if we, because of when North of Falcon is and what you try to accomplish, whatever we set, if the policy stays in place right now, we drop to a 14% harvest rate, and we proceed through North of Falcon to set those regulations in place and achieve those preseason goals. That's my marching order right now, and what I am directing staff to start to model as they get their models up and running. If the commission were to make changes to that, their policy to us, then yes, we would have new marching orders, and then it wouldn't necessarily have a dramatic effect on the 2019 season on the new development of the policy that would be enacted for the following year because of how we'd negotiated it up to that point. Okay. That's the way I'm looking at it anyway.
Commissioner Thornburn, and then
The treaty has come up several times, and I'm just been curious. Until it's signed, do we operate under the current treaty, even though it's expired? How does that work, or is it a free-for-all?
Chair Smith, Commissioner Thorburn, I believe that we would continue to operate under the old treaty until the new one is signed. Something in the back of my mind is saying that there may be provisions that there, although it hasn't been signed, it could be implemented. But I'm nervous about saying that definitely.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And on that matter, I think the Pacific Salmon Treaty folks are meeting next week and are probably going to be wrestling with that question a little bit. On the matter of the 14%, that is one of the things that I was looking forward to seeing a full analysis of as we moved forward, and where that came from, what the basis of it was, and what the consequences would be if it was utilized or not. So maybe I think there does need to be some sort of a commission decision as to where to go. I think there are folks out there who would like the commission to stay the course with the 14% and feel like that was built on a solid basis and would like the commission to take that path. I think there are others out there who may prefer the kind of guidance that was given last year relative to making sure that no fishery is excluded from participating. And then there's the alternative of suspending things in some manner and moving forward over the course of 2019. So if we could perhaps get some sort of a staff presentation on those three alternatives or any others that the staff are appropriate, as well as an expected schedule and progress for the conclusion of the comprehensive review. And if that's really going to be comprehensive, perhaps we should know whether or not that will ever have any influence on 2019 fisheries, or it's better to play that out over the course of 2019 and make a more deliberate decision. I do think, though, under this agenda item, if it really is the department will brief the commission on alternatives for 2019 management of Willapa Bay salmon fisheries and an expected process and schedule on the comprehensive review, that that be a public comment agenda item, because I think the commission does have to decide which way to go, and there are choices. Now, on the matter of earlier in the agenda, I have an unavoidable conflict for portions of the February meeting as well, and we'll have to leave commission meeting at approximately 11 o'clock and won't be able to return until Saturday. I anticipate being here on Thursday for the Fish Committee meeting's agenda, but hatchery reform policy agenda item number 9 is one that I've been heavily involved in and would appreciate it if that could be moved forward to immediately after the director's report. As well, agenda item number 7, Columbia River Joint Commission Work Group Update. That Policy Review Committee is going to meet next Thursday in Salem, Oregon. And so there would be something that could be reported at the February meeting. However, I'm not sure that the progress is going to be substantial at that point. It's an initial meeting, and there will be a lot of procedural things to deal with. This could be handled simply as a committee report at the onset of the meeting, as we do for the Fish Committee and the Wildlife Committee and the rest. If there's a wish to get into more detail, then I would also ask that this be moved forward just after the hatchery reform policy so that I could participate in that. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. We will take that under that.
Yeah, if I could just speak to that too. I think Don's right. We Ryan sent out an agenda to the three folks. I don't know if everybody was included, but there are a lot of kind of procedural ground rules that we need to agree upon, and so I doubt we're going to have a lot of time to get into the substance of the matter. Maybe some, but I think a committee report. I don't know. I'm looking at Dave. Does that sound okay with you?
Absolutely, Bob.
Okay.
Or we have a conference call after the 17th. Maybe we could just do a quick update on the conference call.
So other options. But I think Commissioner McIsaac is right on.
Duly noted, and we'll adjust. Okay. Anything else under item number 12?
Yes.
First, I want to appreciate that that Ron Warren did such a nice job on TV yesterday. It's a tough subject, and we're going to hear more about that. But I would like to present a blue sheet.
Yes.
I'm asking for a briefing on the corn pond hunting issue. I have it as medium importance and medium urgency.
The reason for that is that I think it's important to take up this issue in Eastern Washington for the reason that we talked about yesterday, which is we've only heard one side of this issue. I'd like to hear the other side. And so my suggestion is that I've asked for a legal and policy briefing on corn pond duck hunting as it relates to baiting laws. I've asked for us to have it at the September meeting, which we are going to be in Winthrop. And I would also ask, as a part of this, that either Joe or Kelly talk to Eric and actually get this squarely on the advisory committee that's meeting in April's agenda, so we have some input from them as well.
Okay. So, is there a second on the blue sheet? Second. Second's been made. Any further discussion on the blue sheet? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Blue sheet's in process or process. I'm bilingual.
Yeah, you're close to the board.
Any other?
I have one. Just, yes. Don needs to step out during the February meeting. We're already down Jay and Kim, so that puts us just at five people for portions of the February meeting. So if anybody else is sick,
have any decision items, we'll need to
rework the agenda
to make sure we have forum.
Nobody be sick. Hear that, Holtzman?
Yes.
I'm
going to
be
happy. I'd be happy to give you one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else? Good. Thank you.